And we can continue looking at what Jesus talks about with the kingdom of God. And last week we started looking at that, and we saw that the kingdom of God is wherever the desires of Jesus are received and lived. That's where the kingdom of God is. You could call that the kingdom of God. And as you read along in the scriptures and that phrase touches, you see there's an awful lot about the kingdom of God that we can do. Even today, in the reading that Pete read just a minute ago, you see that the kingdom of God can be inherited. So we'll look at that down the road. But today, what I want to look at is something that Jesus said about the kingdom of God. And he said, no one who puts his hands on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So I'm thinking it's a good idea to try to figure out, how do you get fit for the kingdom of God? You know, diet and exercise, what, enough sleep? I don't know. Maybe not. There's a little something else going on with that. And some of the things that we've looked at recently, like praying regularly, asking Jesus, may I be like you, makes us fit for the kingdom of God. Those kind of rituals and disciplines are very, very helpful for that. And as I was looking at this, I remembered a story that I heard out of the Vineyard Church some years ago. John Wimber tells a story. At one of their church facilities, there was a dumpster, and one of the members went back to throw something into the dumpster and saw there was somebody living in there. So, they tried to help this person, and they bring them food that was not in a dumpster. You know, they were probably doing some dumpster diving to have enough to eat. And that went on for a little bit, maybe not a full week. And then the member calls up the church office and says, there's somebody living in the dumpster. They really need some help, and the church should do something about it. To which John Wimber said, you've been helping them, so the church has done something about it. Do you see how that goes? When you do something, the church has done something about it. Okay, let's keep going. Let that sink in a little bit. Because there is a manner, there is a way in which you and I can be fit for that kind of following after Jesus, where we know that we're the church, and when we do something, that the church has then done something. That no matter where it is, no matter what the actual significance of it is, if it's something Jesus has desired, and we've received it and done it, the kingdom of God has been present, and we have been in a position where we are fit for the kingdom of God. So we see here that Jesus is talking to a few people, and in the second half of the gospel reading especially, and somebody says, you know, I'll follow you. And he says, well, you know, foxes have holes, birds have nests and all that, but not me. I don't have anything like that. In other words, Jesus was homeless. And then, so I think that young man thought about it. Well, wait a minute. And maybe didn't follow him after that. That's the implication. We don't know. And then somebody said, well, let me go bury my father first. Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. Sounds a little harsh. What we don't know is if the father was actually dead. I mean, maybe the father would be living for a while longer. I don't know. But there was still, Jesus was saying, well, you know, it's going to cost you something to do this. And then there was the phrase we want to look at a little further today, when somebody says, well, I'll follow you, but let me just go home and say goodbye to everybody first. To which Jesus says, anyone who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus' aim here was not to put down family or culture or customs or just be negative towards anybody in any way at all here. It was to say that there is a cost to following Jesus. And, you know, we know that. We've seen that in other gospel readings and other contexts, that it costs, well, everything. It costs dying to ourselves daily so that we can follow him. And he kept pointing that out to each one in a way that they would understand that there was a cost. You know, it can all be very inspiring. Yes, yes, well, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And we sing that song and crying and stuff. Until Jesus says something to you where you understand the depth of what it is to follow Jesus, to follow into the kingdom. And that's what he was doing here. He's pointing out to each one a way that they could understand that. The price paid makes us fit for the kingdom of God. Now, being fit and useful for the kingdom of God is what it takes to follow Jesus. So how does that work? Well, Jesus said, you know, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Well, what does that mean? Any of you ever have to do any plowing? Well, you can imagine. I mean, you don't have to have done plowing to see what the picture is. It could be an animal-drawn plow or a plow that you're doing with a tractor. To plow correctly so that you get the most out of the field, you get into the plow. Some of you probably know this. And you look straight ahead and you find something and you go towards that. And that's how you make a straight line plowing. If you are getting in the plow, driving, or you know the horse or ox or whatever, and you have your hand on the plow, and you look back, the plow's going to go all over the place. Now, you might think that that's fine, and maybe it is fine, and maybe if you're making a living, however, from that crop, if it's not a straight line, you're not going to get the most out of that field. And you're going to lose money, and you're going to lose food, and less people will be fed, and all that. In other words, the purpose of that planting will not be achieved because of putting the hand on the plow and looking back. Jesus is saying, if you say you want to follow me, and you keep looking back, you're not going to see me. It'll just be going off here and there and here and there. The idea becomes really clear. Being fit for the kingdom of God is continually focusing on Jesus. All the time. Just focus, focus, focus on Jesus. It's always about Jesus, all the time, without any exceptions, in any condition or situation at all. It is always all about Jesus in everything. That's how you're fit for the kingdom of God. Now, the question can come up, I think, right there, is how are we looking back? What are some of the ways that we might be looking back? And how do we keep looking forward? Well, to keep looking forward, to start on the positive note, there's one very simple discipline to keep up. And that is, if Jesus says it, you say yes. It is continually saying yes to Jesus. That's what it is to keep your eye on Jesus. That's what it is to look forward all the time. Jesus asks you to do something, you say yes. Jesus taps you on the shoulder, you say yes. Jesus prompts you in some way or another, you say yes. And you go with that. That's being fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to notice that that is the center of what the Christian life is. It is hearing what Jesus says and doing it. It is being aware of Jesus and following. It is focusing on Jesus all the time. I want you to notice that that's what it is to be fit for the kingdom of God. And you do not have to be able to memorize scripture and quote it. You do not have to be able to perfectly say your prayers every day. You do not have to be able to love your neighbor and never get mad at them. Or if your neighbor does something to you, maybe be slow, like real slow in forgiveness. You don't have to accomplish any of that to be fit for the kingdom of God. Because none of us would be fit for the kingdom of God if that were the case. Being fit for the kingdom of God is just continually saying yes to Jesus. Is everyone okay? Good. Very good. All right. If you use something like the things that we've shared over the past few weeks, your ear will probably be more in tune to Jesus. Like if your prayer is continually, "Let me be like you," you'll catch the things Jesus is saying to you so that you can say yes to him. Now, you'll notice you don't have to have a lot of theological definitions in your mind for that. You don't have to be able to explain the incarnation at Christmas time. You don't have to be able to say how the miracles actually happened, how the Red Sea was parted. You don't have to do that. Interesting as that is, and if you want to find that out, please do. But it is always, "Jesus, may I be like you." And as that answer comes, you find yourself responding more to Jesus, and you are fit for the kingdom of God. If you, for example, bless someone, especially someone who's not your friend, you know they're not your friend, and you find a way to bless them because Jesus asked you to do it, you're fit for the kingdom of God. Just working, praying, or giving as Jesus prompts you to do, that's a sign that you're fit for the kingdom of God. And you'll be continually looking forward, because your goal will always be to be like Jesus. And there will be a cost to that. And for us, often the cost is this. It's the sacrifice of praise. And that's what you're doing here today. When you just don't feel like doing it, and you show up and you do it anyway, that's the sacrifice of praise. When you think you can't sing, or you don't know the song, or you just are not up to it, and you sing anyway, that's the sacrifice of praise. When you step forward to receive communion, that's a sacrifice of praise. Even if you're thinking, well, you know, what's the difference? You just do it anyway. That's the sacrifice of praise. And as you're doing that, what you're doing is you're saying yes to Jesus. You're saying, "Yes, I want to follow you. I want you to rule over my life." That's what the sacrifice of praise is getting at. And then there's the sacrifice of love, which is blessing other people when you don't want to, or you don't think you have any reason to, or you think they don't deserve it, or you think they shouldn't have done what they did, or whatever it is that you're thinking, and you find a way to bless them because Jesus is blessing them, and Jesus wants you to join in with that. You just go ahead and do that. That's fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I want to give an example which may be a bit challenging. Would that be okay? Rob says yes. Chris is not okay, maybe. And Pete says yes. That's enough for me. Okay, here we go. When we look to the past of how this church or any church was, we may not be looking forward. We may have put our hand to the plow and looked back, and it's starting to go all over the place. And when you know when it's gone all over the place, it may not be headed directly to Jesus. One way of thinking about this and applying it to our lives is not only personally finding a way to continually say yes to Jesus, but as a congregation, how do we say yes to Jesus? Which is always something that Jesus has in front of us. rather than behind us. I invite you to pray about that for as long as you want. I mean, I need to pray about that too. I'm not saying I'm the one who looks forward and nobody else does. I'm as prone to look back and say, gosh, how did we miss that? How'd that get away? As much as anyone. To which Jesus would say to me, anyone who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to notice this. Jesus doesn't say anyone who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the love of God. God will love you and me and the world no matter where we're looking. No matter which direction we're looking in and how it's going, the love of God is always there. That's the word of Jesus. That's the promise. But being able to follow Jesus in extending the kingdom of God in justice, in righteousness, in healing, that means always looking at Jesus and always saying yes. And sometimes that means not looking back at the way it was. Now that can apply to our life together. It can apply to our lives individually. It can apply to our families. It can apply to the various groups that we're in and all kinds of things. The core is the discipline of continually looking at Jesus and saying yes in everything. And sometimes we need to help each other doing that. At one point, back in our days in Pennsylvania, I had taken part not only in the church, but also our local church, where I was the rector, but also I was on the leadership team of a large ecumenical ministry. And I'd shared that with some of you and some years past and all that. So I thought I'd share it a little bit again. And I was getting really worn out, and I wanted to stop. I just wanted to look back to the days before all that was going on and settle down and rest for a while. And I was the one training the ministry team to pray for people. And one day, one night, because it was every night that we did it, I was with the group that was going to be praying for people at the meeting that night. And they said, wait a minute. We need to pray for you. And this was a group from a messianic synagogue, Beth Yeshua. Yeshua means Jesus, of course. And they didn't even give me a chance to answer. Well, I don't know. But it came right up, prayed for me. What that did for me was it helped me put my eye on what Jesus had in mind and how I could say yes to that. And I was able to move forward. And of course, I mean, obviously, I didn't stay in that ministry, forever. I'd probably be with Jesus now if I had done that, but at the rate that we were going. But at that moment and that day, I was able to do it. We can do that for each other as well. Building each other up, encouraging one another, finding ways to say yes to one another, helping one another look forward is a way to say yes to Jesus. So, the challenge as always is this. How today, this morning, at St. Francis, here, in this time of worship, is Jesus asking you to say yes to him? In what area, what concern, what aspect of your life is Jesus asking you to say yes to him? The reason Jesus is asking you to say yes to him is not so that you be corrected or straightened out. It's so that you will be fit for the kingdom of God. Because you're already good. In the eyes of Jesus, you're already good. It's becoming fit for the kingdom of God. When that's clear, what Jesus is asking you to say yes to Him about, my encouragement to you as the Vicar of St. Francis, as your pastor, as your friend, is just go ahead and say yes and step forward into what He's asking. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank You for all that You are doing among us. We ask You today for ears that are able to hear You call us, and that You would give us, by the power of Your Spirit, the capacity to say yes to You in everything You ask, and that would come all for the glory of Your name. Amen.